Saturday afternoon, it's Red Rose Radio, Steve Wilson with you between now and five. Now, my guest coming up now, let me tell you, is a national treasure who became a household name as one half of Cannon and Ball. Tommy Cannon played the straight man to the late Bobby Ball as the double act dominator at primetime TV for more than a decade. An actor, a singer and a comic, Tommy has lived an extraordinary life, most recently being lauded by rock star Robbie Williams at a sellout concert in Manchester. Now he's returning to the stage in Rock On Tommy, a variety show featuring clips, incredible stories, tons of laughter, audience question and answers and more. Fans can meet the man who has provided laughter to millions since debuting in 1968 on the talent show Opportunity Knocks. Let's welcome to the programme Tommy Cannon. Thanks for joining us, Tommy.
Oh, you're welcome, Steve. You're welcome, pal.
I mean, that's a hell of an introduction. Let's start with the Robbie Williams bit. I mean, how on earth did that come about?
Well, I still think it were a dream, but it came about because Robbie and I, sort of last year sometime, we did a podcast together.
Yeah.
And then we kept in touch and what have you. And then we sent him a text saying that all the fam were up and we're all swaying and singing to one of his songs, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
So he texts back, he said, "Tommy, I'm in Manchester in a week's time." He said, "At the arena, come and see me, bring all the family down." So all the family came down with me.
Yeah.
And we're there in the 20,000 people there.
Wow.
And he came on stage, he walked right down to the more or less to the end of the stage, and he must have known where I was sat.
Yeah.
And he looked right at me. We were more 150 feet away from the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
But he looked straight at me and he put his hand to his head and saluted me.
Really?
Now, but I didn't know he was saluting me, because I turned to my wife, Hazel, and I said, "What was that?" She said, "I don't know." And all the family were there and they were all looking at me. I said, "That's weird, isn't it?" I said, He couldn't have been saluting me. What? I just couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
So, show went on. He got to the end of the show. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "you've been a lovely audience." He said, "I'm going to dedicate this last song," he said, "to a legend." And everybody's looking round, and including me, I'm looking for the legend.
Yeah.
I'm going, "Who is it? Who's in then, Hazel?" And all the family are looking and we can't see anybody. And all of a sudden he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the legend, Tommy Cannon." And he went, Tommy. 20,000 people were chanting my name.
Wow.
I was in buckets of tears. I didn't know what to do.
I bet you
they were shaking me and shouting, "Tommy." And I'm like, "Oh my God, what have you done, Robbie?" And then we go down into the VIP room after, and he stood there waiting for me. I walked in, he put his arms around me, he gave me a big squeeze into me,
yeah.
And he said, "Tommy, I love you. You're a legend." And I went, "Oh my God." And I've got a picture of him hugging me, and it's on my wall, and I'll never ever get over it. Never.
What a fantastic story, though.
Oh, fabulous.
And the thing is, it went viral, didn't it? I mean,
I know it did.
It went on socials and then went viral.
I know. And then Robbie says to his songwriter, "Write Tommy a song." And I went, "What?" He told his writer to write your song. Oh, okay. So I get in touch with writer, he's a lovely lad. When I met him again, I said, "Oh, you were at Robbie's show, weren't you?" He said, "That's right, Tommy, I was." So he said, "Wrote this song for you. It's a swing song, a bit like Sinatra."
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, lovely." I said, "What do we do now?" He said, "You've got to come to Stoke," he said, "and record it in my studio." And he said, so I go down to record it, and I'm there 7 hours.
Oh.
And I said to him, I said, "Tell you what we'll do. We'll do it verse at a time." So he said, "Yeah, okay, if that's what you want to do." So I started to do. He said, "No, Tommy, stop." And they were all giggling. There were three brothers, you see.
Yeah.
And they were all giggling and all that. And I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Tommy, you can't do it a verse at a time because your Lancashire accent keeps creeping up into the song." So I said, I'm sorry. I said, "So what do we do?" He said, "A line at a time."
Seven hours.
I was there recording it. 7 hours.
Wow.
And eventually we did it. And it's really, really a good song. So I'm waiting for him to get in touch with me now because I want it to be released on vinyl as a single.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a terrific song. It sort of typifies my age group in a way because it's all about I don't need to be hip, wearing clothes that don't fit. And as for TikTok, I thought that came from a clock. So it's all that stuff that I don't know about, TikTok and stuff and all that. So it's a brilliant song. I love it a bit. So, I'm hoping that gets put out.
Fabulous.
For when I start the tour.
Fabulous, fabulous story. Mm. And I suppose you'll be his warm-up act when he does another world tour then, will you now?
Well, I said to him in a bit of fun, I sent him a text. I said, by the way, Bobby, Robbie, if you're looking for an opening act, I said, I'm your man.
Oh, dear. What a wonderful story. Yeah. Wonderful.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Listen, let's talk about your career, the early days. I mean, you've been in the business for over 50 years now. I mean, how do you keep it so fresh?
I don't know, to be honest. I just think we've been lucky to have audiences that actually sort of fell in love with us, and certainly with Bobby, because he had this thing about him that people was, you know, oh, Bobby, oh, love you, Bobby, that lovely sort of Charlie Chaplin-esque thing, I just think that, because I was always the hard man, if you like, against Bobby. I mean, and, you know, a couple of times I've been hit with a woman's handbag on my bloody head, you know, because they thought, leave him alone and all that business, you know. I just think we were there around about the right time. I remember Eric Markham saying to us, we went to Luton Town Football Club. Eric used to watch Luton Town. And I remember him saying to us, do you know what? Ernie and myself are really worried about you two boys. And I went, and I thought, oh, he's going to say something nasty here.
Yeah.
He said, because I believe that you two lads will take our crown.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, what a thing to say, because we loved Eric and Ernie. Yeah, you know, we absolutely loved them.
Yeah.
So that was a wonderful thing to say. Absolutely. So I think we've been lucky, and we've worked very hard to get where we were. Took us a good few years, but eventually we did. We got there.
But as duos, I mean, if you think of yourselves and Morecambe and Wise, one thing both pairs had in abundance was timing, and that's the secret to good comedy, isn't it? It's the timing of everything.
Yes, it is. If you haven't got that, you never get anywhere with it. You're just fumbling through it. But the timing that Bob and I had was incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah.
So I've seen on social media, you've asked your fans about their favourite routines and obviously you've had a lot of feedback. But what was your favourite routine?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, the Lulu wall routine.
Right.
We did the wall routine with three different girls, but Lulu was, oh my God, she was brilliant.
Yeah.
She fought every inch of the way. She put her leg around Bob's neck. And, oh my God. It's just magical to watch. Yeah. You can't help but laugh. You cannot help but laugh. All three of us are laughing all the way through it. And then we both started to punch her like she was behind the wall, and we're both lifting our fists up above the wall and banging it down on the mattress. Everybody must have thought, bloody hell, they're killing her. I think. And the other one, which I really love, was Steve Davis' snooker sketch.
Yeah.
And the thing that I laughed at, it was funny, the thing I laughed at most of all was we were playing snooker with an invisible cues, invisible no balls, just the sound effect.
Yeah.
And at the end, when we're all taking a bow, Steve stood there with his hand up in the air like he still had hold of a cue. I laughed my head off at him.
Oh, dear.
I said, Steve, do you know what you did? He said, what? He said, I said, you had your hand round the queue. He said, oh, hellfire. He said, I just thought I was still playing snooker.
Oh, dear me. Fantastic. I've got two particular favourites. And in fact, I responded to your Twitter request when you put them on. The first one, I saw you do it in Blackpool, and that was the trumpet sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Which was very, very, I mean, that had me in stitches. But the other one, And I can't work out whether you'd actually rehearse this or whether it was all ad lib, but Jimmy Tarbuck and the golf one, that really got me in stitches.
Listen, I must tell you about that, okay? Now, the Jimmy Tarbuck routine, and I'm surprised that the producer, the director, let it carry on and let me keep laughing.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmy came on, which nobody saw, and did the wrong line.
Right.
So he went off again. Now, when he came back, he had this look in his eye of, I don't know what it was, but I looked at him and I went, and I start to laugh.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, hand on heart, I don't really know what I was laughing at. And he's going on and I'm laughing and laughing and I can't stop.
Yeah,
I can't stop laughing. And all of a sudden, he said, what are you laughing at? And I went, Jimmy, I don't know, Jimmy. I just can't. He said, well, you sound like you've got a feather stuck up your arm.
Oh, dear me.
And that was most, I mean, I have that on a clip and I play it, and the audience are howling. Because there's nothing better to make an audience laugh than somebody corpsing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, and I have that on the clip, and I show that when I'm doing the show. And I still start laughing again when I see it.
Yeah, excellent.
And I don't know why, even now, honestly, Steve, I don't know why what made me laugh.
I think it's proper humour, though, isn't it? When you see it again, it's just proper natural humour, and it's infectious, isn't it?
Oh, God, I'll say it is, yeah. If I play it on YouTube here, or on The Family or all here, they all start laughing. They can't stop, they can't help themselves.
Yeah, oh, wonderful. Funny. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's just go back to last December, because obviously it was a massive part of your life when Bobby left us. But you took the decision to come back to stage work, and you went into Panto in December last year. I mean, how difficult was that for you?
That was really difficult. Hazel, my wife, was with me, and the girl that we did it with, Bob and I, met her in 1976 in Jersey. We were all in a show together.
Right.
And she kept saying to Hazel, which I didn't know until Hazel mentioned it, she kept saying to her, where's Tommy? Where is he? He's not right. What's going on? And Hazel said, I don't know, honestly. She said, but I will ask him.
Yeah.
So she asked me, and she said, Lee is really worried. I said, well, and so am I. I said, I just keep looking for Bob.
Yeah.
I said, I can't get him out of my head. I said, because every panto Bob and I did was quite easy, although they were hard work.
Yeah.
They were easy because we did all sketches that we'd done from TV.
Yeah.
And also, if I missed a line and or Bob won, we covered for one another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yes, we worked with part of the cast as well, but for us, panto was remembering stuff was very easy because we always used to do stuff from TV.
Yeah.
But to do something like that, which I did last year, and rehearse it with complete strangers, people who I've never met before. It was frightening. And I kept thinking, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get there. I can't remember this. I can't remember that. And in all honesty, I kept looking up and talking to Bob, and I know he was saying to me, come on, you can do this.
Yeah.
You know, get on with it.
Yeah.
And he were right. I mean, I got to opening night, and I walked on, I did it, and then the girl, Leah, said to my wife, she said, that's the Tommy I know.
Yeah, yeah.
And for some reason, it just happened, and then right at the end of the opening night, I said a few words to the audience. I said, this is my first solo performance, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for welcoming me on stage. I said, and I know Bobby's happy now. He's looking down and he's saying thank you as well.
Yeah.
And as I walked away, I got a standing ovation.
Oh, lovely.
And so it was wonderful. But talk about tough. Oh, my God.
I guess
I just kept panicking.
Once that curtain went up, I mean, Bobby could have been there, couldn't he, watching on? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Once you see that audience, you see the reaction, I guess it'll become a lot easier for you, doesn't it?
Oh, sure. It does. It's just that you, certainly the panto working with these strangers, and they were lovely people, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
They were lovely because they kept saying to me, don't worry, Tom. You drop a line, we're here for you. We'll cover, we'll put, you know. And I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it wasn't like Bobby covering for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, but we got through it and it was fine and I'm going back again this
year.
Well,
I was going to say it must have gone okay because you're back again this year. So, I mean, that's testament, isn't it?
Yeah, that's testament in itself, yeah. Yeah, and in the second half, I'm playing a tomato. No, you can laugh, Steve. All right. This is my own fault, this, because I found a little album of pictures of me and Bob on the Noel Edmonds Gotchas.
Yeah.
And we said to Noel Edmonds, we met him once, and we said, look, don't ever try to get me and Bob on them Gotchas. I said, because it won't happen.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he did. I mean, how can you go to London in the recording studio and me sing and not think there was something wrong? I'm Tommy Tomato, I'm English through and through. What sort of a song's that? And Bobby was supposed to be the Italian tomato. I'm Italiano Tomato, I'm Italian through and through. I mean, how ridiculous, singing a song about a bloody tomato. And it never dawned on us. Never dawned on us until the third person came in robe, in between us.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I thought, if that's Noel Edmonds, I'm going to kill him. And it were. It were Noel. I pulled the bonnet off and I went like that, you, and I had my fist up. I wanted to thump him.
Oh,
yeah,
dear
so,
me.
But that, so, of course, I told Leah about it because she said the bad guy in Jack and the Beanstalk's got to turn you into some, because I'm the Lord Mayor for the first half.
Right.
And then they turn you into something that's not right. So he said, he goes, you will now be a tomato. And then second half, I walk out dressed as a bloody tomato. I've got tomato shoes on, a tomato hat. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I don't know what I've let myself in for.
But very funny, though. Very funny.
Yeah, it will be. It will be, yeah.
Wonderful.
Listen,
last few days, you've announced that you've made a charity record with local vocals for Charity Mind. Fantastic cause. Lancashire Mind, should I say. I mean, tell us about it, because this is your theme tune, right? This is yours and Bobby's theme tune. This must have been a tough gig to do for you.
Yeah, the thing was with it, it happened quite a few months back by accident. I was in Chorley doing some sort of a presentation and saying a few words, and the choir were on,
right,
and they were singing, and I thought, whoa, that sounds fabulous. And I've always wanted to sing a song with all these voices at the back of me singing.
Yeah.
And they were singing, and I said, you're fabulous. That's really good. And in a bit of fun, I said, I tell you what, I said, if you learn, Together We'll Be Okay, I said, I'll sing it with you.
Yeah.
And I went away. And they laughed, and I laughed, you know. And then a few months later on, I get a phone call. Oh, Laura, are you? I said, yeah, what is it? She said, are you ready to record the song then? I said, sorry? What song? She said, Together We'll Be Okay. You said to us a few months back, you said, if we learned the words of that song and we did it, you would record it with us. I said, oh, right. Yes, I did. And I was just going to say, but it was only a bit of fun when she said, right, so we'll get your backside down here then. She said, because we're going to do it on Tuesday night. I said, oh, okay. And I went and we did it, and it was fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, beautiful. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was nearly crying when I heard it.
It's a lovely song. Lovely version of
beautiful.
The song.
Oh, yeah.
And
beautiful.
I think there's 150 voices plus yours, so 151 voices altogether. And it really is a very good production, isn't it?
Oh, it's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
A big tour coming up later on this year. Tommy, almost 50 dates for this year and next year. Tell us about it. Where did the idea come from?
Well, the idea came because when Bob passed away and we got over COVID and stuff and the restrictions, I wanted to do a tour that, if you like, in memory of Bob, to be honest. And we just couldn't work out who I would work with, who would do it, who wouldn't do it, et cetera, et cetera. That sort of went away for a while, and then I thought to myself, right, there's only one way I can do this. What I should do is I'd do it on my own.
Yeah.
Do the first half, telling them about our life stories. Second half, open up with a song, and then questions, answers, and stuff, and all that business. and my son, Luke, took over my management.
Yeah.
And as you know, social media, he's absolutely like magnificent on it.
Yeah.
I don't know a damn thing about it. And so off he goes. He's down on his booze. He's doing it and he's getting this. And he said, right, Dad, he said, I've got your cruise. He said, right. I said, oh, okay, okay. 10-day cruise, I went on. He said, right. And also, he said, I've got you a tour. He said, it starts in November. He said, and also, it starts again after you've done the pantomime. And,
yeah.
And I'm going, what the hell? What? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And so this is how it all like came about. And the guy who's booked us, he's an agent in Birmingham. He's a lovely man. And he's really good. And so it's just a case now of, you know, thinking to myself, my God, will I get through all them on 2 days? But I know I will. I know I will. It's just thinking to myself, my goodness me, where's all this come from?
Yeah.
But I'm so glad because I want people to remember what Bobby and I did.
Yeah.
And this is now the time to do it.
I was thinking about doing this interview when we got the request through. And the nice thing about what you're doing, I mean, a lot of people do reminiscing about their career and telling stories about what's happened. But with you, the difference is the audience were there enjoying it with you as well, weren't they? So they can also enjoy the memories and the nostalgia.
Right.
It's just a great and easy night, isn't it? Just laughing.
It's lovely. Yeah, you just have a good time laughing out loud, asking questions that you've always wanted to ask and have been frightened to do it.
Yeah.
It's just a great night.
Yeah.
Fabulous night.
So almost 50 nights across 2023 and 2024. Yep. You start on the 21st of September this year.
Yep.
And then you're coming to Blackpool and Lytham. Lytham on the 15th of October, Blackpool Pavilion on the 4th of November. I mean, Blackpool must be a special place for you, mustn't it? Because you've spent some time there, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, Bob and I love Blackpool, Winter Gardens, North Pier. I mean, I think, was it the ABC Theatre or something in Blackpool at one time? I know there was lots of places. There were big-time entertainers used to go to Blackpool and perform there. It was a wonderful place. And we still hold the record of the Winter Gardens, selling it out 2 shows a night for 27 weeks.
Wow.
And I think it was about 8,000 people a night.
Oof.
And we did that for 27 weeks.
Wow. Well, I can say I was one of those. I was one of those when I enjoyed the trumpet sketch. But But fabulous, fabulous memories. And you know, great time to reminisce for the fans. But here's an important question. If people want to come and see you in Lytham or in Blackpool, where did they get the tickets from?
You're asking me that?
I'm asking.
And I don't even know.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put a link on our Facebook page and our Twitter page so that people can just do a direct link to those. Well, I guess you go to the Lowther Pavilion in St Anne's or the Pavilion in Blackpool, don't you?
That'd be the
best place to go, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, I can see a double act coming on here.
Yeah, I'm in a whirlwind at the moment.
I know.
Honestly, Steve, I'm in a whirlwind, mate.
Oh, dear. Listen, all the very best with the tour.
All right,
and also for the charity single. I mean, you've so much going on, haven't you? The panto, the charity single, supporting Robbie Williams. I mean, what more can a man want in life?
Nothing. I mean, I'm going to Blackburn Football Club or something, doing a charity there. And oh my goodness me! I mean, at this moment in time, life's treating me good, but I hope I come out at the other end of the tunnel still in one piece.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Listen,
okay.
Have a wonderful tour, and thanks for your time, Tommy.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime, pal.
Cheers. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.